8816. Immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. At this time every day, we give you a shot or no shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be... Oh, my God. I was reading something about
That's fine, but, I mean, music's playing. I say shot or no shot. You could run a pace bus through that pause there. Let's go. Shot or no shot, brought to you by...
Hawthorne Racecourse. And the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Derby Day is Saturday. Eddie Olczyk will join the show on Thursday. Jim Miller on Friday. We'll try and make you some cash. Forte is the heavy favorite. 3-1. I didn't know Matt was running the Derby. Here is Shane.
Oh. What do you think a rocket can, Kaplan? I'm a big rocket can guy.
I will have my exclusive pick for the show on Thursday.
Oh, come on.
Rocky can is what he's been dealing with the last 48 hours, by the way, this guy.
100%.
In the bathroom every 10 minutes.
Two Phils is a horse I'm rooting for because Larry Rivelli is a Chicago guy. He's the trainer. And that horse is really good.
That's another thing that Norling's gone through. Two Phils in the bathroom every 10 minutes.
I got to tell you, I saw a list of all the names of the horses. Wow. Two Phils irrationally made me angry for the apostrophe in Phils. It shouldn't be there.
Why?
Because it should be Two Phils plural, not Two Phil. Forget it.
Why? It's Phil's horse. Issue. There's two guys named Phil that own it. Who's that horse belong to? That's Phil's.
It's a dumb name. Bad name. All right, let's get to shot or no shot, boys.
What does plural mean?
There's no apostrophe if it's plural Phils. If you have multiple Phils, there's no apostrophe. Two Phils with an apostrophe is one Phil. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. This is pointless.
Yes. No, is that... Cap, as an English major, I think you should probably chime in here.
I tried to explain it to him.
Yes, two Phils would be if it's two more than one Phil... It's Phil apostrophe S.
Apostrophe S. Yeah. Who owns that horse?
Both of those Phils.
Those two Phil guys. That's their horse. It's Phil. Who is it? It's Phil's.
When Bonnie Bernstein said two dicks wow,
right?
He's talking about two guys named Richard.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Shay Norling.
All right, boys, with the main parts of the NFL offseason done, the Bears have made a clear effort to give Justin Fields weapons and protection so polls can get the most complete evaluation possible of the Bears quarterback. Shot or no shot? Justin Fields is under the most pressure among quarterbacks this season.
That's a shot. Absolute shot. Justin Fields, there's no more excuses. Offensive line should be markedly better. Running game is maybe not spectacular, but it's solid in that room. Khalil Herbert, Deontay Foreman, and Ebner, and Roschon Johnson, the kid we just drafted. So, yeah, he's got receivers. He's got DJ Moore. No excuses.
Okay. In the whole league, right, Jay? The whole league.
Correct.
I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I will throw out some options and ask you whether or not you feel that they might have a little bit more pressure. I'll start with Kyler Murray in Arizona.
Yeah, he's not going to play, so no.
No pressure for him when he returns. Okay? Russell Wilson with Denver.
Yes.
Any pressure there?
He's already gotten paid, though. He's got the guaranteed money coming.
Well, if he's only about the money, perform, then he's a loser, and I don't think he is. I think he wants to win.
There's pressure to perform, but he's gotten the payday, and he has the Super Bowl ring. And
All right. Tua in Miami.
Yeah. The one that's, can I offer you the one that I thought would be on par?
Josh Allen, Buffalo?
No. Mac Jones. I think you have Fields and Mac Jones and maybe Tua are guys where if they don't live up to the hype, they may never get another starting gig.
Lamar Jackson, Baltimore?
No, not even close. He just got 5 years, $180 million guaranteed.
But you're just about the money.
If Lamar doesn't perform, he still gets the money. He's still going to play. If Fields or Mac Jones don't perform, they may never start another NFL game after this season. Like, that's a different kind of pressure.
I think the pressure's all internal from truly, really great competitors. They don't care about the money. They're going to make... Justin's made a ton of money anyway. A ton. A ton of money. He can live. He can be great.
Mm-hmm.
He can always get a backup job. He'll make more than he'll ever spend already. If you're a competitor, the pressure on Lamar Jackson now to deliver on that with a playoff team. Yeah. Odell Beckham's there. They drafted a receiver. Let's go.
See, I only chose a couple of those teams that have underachieved. Like, I throw Denver out there. Even though if Russell Wilson walked away from the game, he's a Hall of Famer. I get that. But just the idea that now there's a new coach, there's a new staff, like John Elway's not part of the team anymore. I wonder how much pressure is on his shoulders to get it done. He wants to be able to match what, say, Peyton Manning did when he went to Denver to try to get a championship
again. How about Aaron Rodgers?
Sure.
It's not about the money. His legacy. If he goes there and they end up 6-11, it'll be like, okay. They're not even close to the all-time greats.
I would just say that, again, everyone's paid. I just think that there's always pressure to win, especially when you feel when people feel that you should be close or in the mix. But Buffalo's a perfect example of that. Either blank or get off the pot, Shay, when it comes to like Buffalo. Like, when will this happen for Josh Allen? If it will happen. I don't know the answer to that. I'm just saying that there's a number of examples of that. I'm not saying that's a no shot, the question. I'm just saying there's a number of examples in some markets where it's like, man, when's this going to happen? If it happens with some of these quarterbacks and teams. Shay Norley.
All right, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on before us from 5 to 7 a.m. Talked a little bit about all the NFL teams that whether they will slump or jump this coming season. Here's what they had to say about the Bears.
They're going
to
jump. They're going to be better. Now, they're going to win, whatever, 6, 7, 8 games. They're going to jump, though. Justin Fields is going to be in this system 2 years in a row. He's got a little bit of help on the offensive side of the ball. I think they'll be fine. Their time is coming. It's just not tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's a slight jump. And I think for this reason, you know, I know this is Justin Fields' third year in the league, but really I think it's his second year under center, right? I think there was so much going on the first year, a split in time, coaching regime change. Fine. Now with Matt Eberflus in this system, I think you're finally going to see him settle in. I think that gets you more than just 3 wins.
Shot or no shot, the Bears will jump this season.
That is a shot.
That's an absolute shot. If they win only 3 games, something went horrifically bad. Injuries or whatever. Again, I don't think they're a playoff team. I think they're probably, like Keyshawn said, a 6-7 win team with 2 first-round picks next year, another draft class, another free agent, and then it's time to go.
Robert in Green Bay, slump or jump for the Bears? Slump or jump?
I say jump.
All right, Shay, go ahead.
Wow. You're unbelievable.
Shay Norland.
Thanks, Robert.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask about...
I wanted Robert's opinion. Damn it. Cap!
Wow.
What did I say wrong? Cap? Go ahead.
All right, boys. We know the Warriors eliminated the Kings in the NBA playoffs, and there was some drama between Draymond and Domantas Sabonis after Draymond stomped on his chest. Draymond Green has since talked on his podcast about why he's lost respect for Sabonis. Listen
lost
to this.
Lost a lot of respect for Sabonis. You don't shake guys' hands after you lose. I don't respect that. I once left the court when we lost in Game 7 of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I went to my locker room and I sat down and I said, this don't feel right. And I walked back out on the court and I showed everybody love. You lost. Deal with it. Pay your respect. That was whack to me. That's whack. Like, but I wouldn't necessarily even say lost respect. Like, but I don't respect that. And that's whack.
So there you go. Sabonis didn't shake Draymond's hand, and Draymond said he lost respect for him. Shot or no shot, Sabonis should have shaken Draymond's hand.
It's a shot, yes. You got it, Cap. You got to say shot because don't give me the don't give me the Isaiah Bulls situation now. Come on, you got to be a sportsman. He stomped in your chest, yes, but you got to shake the hand. Go ahead.
Wow.
Don't do it. He stomped on the man's chest.
Exactly.
Screw him. Hey, as hard as the Bulls and the Pistons were on one another, Cap, you still got to do it.
Like, if you get outplayed, shake his hand and go, "Hoodie, good game," and you move on. You stomped on my chest like a dirty bitch. And I'm supposed to shake your hand? Being honest here. People don't like honesty.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm telling you. So I guess I go through the line.
All right, well.
Put my hand out, bring it in close, and go, "I'm going to effing kill you next year."
Nice and close, right? Nice and tight. Whisper it.
Right.
Yep. So that's a no shot? You don't shake his hand?
No, I think you take the high road, but you make it clear to him, "I'm going to effing kill you next time we play."
Take the high road. "I'm going to kill you."
What do you want me to say? "Hey, congrats, Draymond. Great series."
I would not shake his hand. Just that, I wouldn't.
"I'm going to effing kill you, shot or no shot." What do you think, Robert?
You got to have good sportsmanship regardless of what happened.
Around the NFL is next right here on Cap and J-Hood.
What insight.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
"I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners." He starts to come and he pulls out.
"This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you till 10. Then Mike Greenberg steps in from 10 to noon. Carmen and Yurko 12 to 2. It'll be Robbie Gold and Sylvie from 2 to 5:30.
How about that?
I love Robbie Gold, right?
Right into White Sox baseball. The Sox take on the Twins. It's Twins week. 5:30 pregame and a 6:10 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, I want to start with an interesting report I saw yesterday. It came from Eagles beat writer Brandon Gauten.
Yeah.
Said executives are getting, quote, annoyed with the praise Howie Roseman has been receiving during the NFL draft.
Wait, what's this guy's name? Brandon what?
Gauten. Gauten.
I had that. Gauten.
Not gout. Oh, Gouted. Not the rich man's meat disease. My foot. God. But the steak's tasty. I'm just telling you.
So
not that, Cap.
Now, apparently, there are some owners saying, well, it wasn't so much Howie. It's the overall draft class. The Eagles just outthought everybody and really ticked people up. Look. Howie Roseman's done a phenomenal job at rebuilding that thing. Remember he got demoted for a while? He got demoted when Chip Kelly came in.
Yeah.
They didn't fire him, but they demoted him. Then they went, oh, this Chip thing isn't going to work out. All right, Howie, you're back in charge. And now he's won a Super Bowl. He fired the coach. He rebuilt on the fly there. I think he's done a tremendous job. If you are jealous... Well, too bad. Do a better job.
What's the Abdallahism? What does Abdallah say? Jealousy is a stinky cologne. And so what are you jealous? I mean, they're one of the class organizations in the National Football League. They do it the right way, Cap. If you're an Eagles fan, you've been through the doldrums. You know, so we get our Eagles fans a call in here, too. Look, you're on a high right now. At least you're in the mix. You've solidified Jalen Hurts. You solidified a team where you got to make a few changes, but that's what good teams do, Cap. You just don't stand still. And so they're doing what's best for Jalen Carter and being able to get a number of former Georgia Bulldogs around him. Yeah, they're going to retool. They'll be right back there again.
I give them a lot of credit, man. And they've gone out and they lose certain guys in free agency. Fill it back up. Sure. Let's go.
Sure. So, whatever.
Yep.
Shay Norley.
We talked yesterday a little bit about how the NFL is targeting May 11th for their schedule release and the way that they just dominate the calendar no matter what season it is. If you needed any more evidence that the NFL is king, the draft over the weekend had 54.4 million viewers over 3 days, a 12% increase from 2022. This thing just keeps on growing.
That blows Cap's mind, by the way. It blows his mind because he's thinking, well, I just want to know what the Bears are doing. Let's take a look at the first round. Why are everyone watching the rest of the draft? Because it's the NFL. You can't kill it. It is a monster now.
So Saturday, I had to build furniture.
Yeah.
I'm not good at that, but I got it done. I wouldn't want to sit on the couch that I built, but I had the draft on the whole time. And honest to God, I said to Brett, who was helping me, I don't understand how Shay could sit here and watch like the fourth, fifth, sixth round and think this is compelling programming. Guess what? I had it on.
It was in the background.
It was white noise to me.
Yeah, but it's just, but it's the NFL. You're hearing picks go across. Some will just sit there and just watch pick after pick after pick. Some will watch it on their phone. Some they just want the information.
Yeah.
It's just because it's no football on the field, no shot at the XFL or the USFL. But again, people are just interested because it's NFL. They want to know how their teams have gotten better. And if you're a college football fan like me, you're like, ah, oh, I remember that guy. Ah, oh, I remember that guy. Oh, my God, look where he's drafted. It's just people, you just can't kill it anymore, Cap. I know it sounds crazy. It was primitive. This is way before Shay's time. In a little ballroom. Actual, you know, phones like this right here. With the long cord.
Yeah, with the helmet phone.
Yellow. Yeah, picks in. But it's bigger than that now.
Right.
I have this on my Twitter someplace, but we don't have time to go through it. Shay, wasn't there something about, in Kansas City, like 300,000 people there?
Yeah. Attendance of that event, I mean, it's turned into... I read somewhere, I can't remember where I was reading this, but it might have been Schefter. It's become a Coachella-like event where there's so many things around it. You have the main stage, but there are other activities. There's so much to do that it's become like a music festival. It's not even just the draft anymore. You go and there are other things.
312,000 people in Kansas City ascended across that city to see it. 312,000.
Yeah. I remember when it was here. We did the show over at the Chicago Theater right in here. And I walked out, and this guy goes, hey, do you know how I get back towards Michigan Avenue? Urban Meyer? That was Urban Meyer. Lost. Yes.
It went from 200 to 225,000 people in 2015 and 16 because we had it for 2 years back to back.
We did.
And now it's going to go every NFL city.
I'm hearing Green Bay is in the running to get one.
Saw that.
That's like an Olympics in Lake Placid. Let's not do that.
Oh!
You know what?
What, are you going to defend Green Bay? You going to step up?
Since I live in the general area up there in the summer, yeah, I am.
Wow.
Got a nice farmer's market for people to go to. Great cheese. Brats.
If they're smart, put it in Milwaukee. Shay.
Green Bay.
I'm with Hoodie 100%.
And I can VRBO my house.
No. Oh, yeah. There it is. You want my home? There you go.
Commissioner Goodell would like to stay in your home.
Sure. Hey, Roger, don't soil my sheets.
Yeah.
Take that.
Keep it clean.
And leave my pictures the way they are on the wall. Bastage. Go ahead.
I'm going to stick with a moment. We'll get to Green Bay, but I want to stick with the NFL being king. Something interesting I read over the weekend from Chris Vanini. The new college football playoff first round in 2024 will go head-to-head with the NFL.
Not a good idea.
Will it work?
Not a good idea. Now, of course, you know where I'm going to be watching. I mean, main TV will be on college football. There's no question. But the idea that you're going against the NFL, that's just a slippery slope, man. Dangerous game. Don't do that.
Right. Like, don't if you that. Said it's Georgia versus Alabama.
Oh, God.
Everyone's watching.
It makes me queasy.
But if it's Georgia, Mississippi Valley State versus the Jets and the Giants playing, yeah, NFL.
Well, that's the problem is this first round of the playoff, you're going to have a lot of 21-point spreads between these college teams. You're going to put that up against the NFL where everything's a one-score game. Best of luck.
I know. I can't help it, though. Like, give me college football all day. Of course, I'll watch the NFL because this is what we talk about. But, yeah, it's just part of my enjoyment. It gets me ready for the draft. That's why I watch, Cap.
It
gets me ready for the draft.
That's it.
Shane Orlin.
Matt LaFleur met the media over the weekend to talk about what he's seeing from the offseason program in Green Bay. He said he's seeing a new mojo out of Jordan Love. Went on to say, I think it's been a cool process from the day we drafted him to see him now, just to see how he's matured in every facet of life. I think you guys probably notice it when you're in the locker room. I think he definitely understands that he's the guy in charge. He's going to be the guy in the huddle, and he's got to be an extension of us, and we're excited for him. We have a lot of confidence in him.
Okay. You have no other choice, because what else? What's the alternative?
Okay, so first of all, today they have to pick up his fifth-year option. What do you do there? If you don't, does the mojo change tomorrow?
No.
Bastards didn't pick up my fifth-year option.
I mean, would you? I got no. What else do I have?
That's my point. How do you not pick up the option?
Got no pipeline quarterback.
What if he goes out and balls out? Now you got to tag him?
By the way, did the Packers draft a quarterback?
Let me see. I don't believe they did.
They did not. I can understand why the average Packer fan would be a little bit miffed at Gutekunst. I mean, come on, man.
Well,
they drafted Sean Clifford from Penn State.
Oh, yeah, so they didn't draft a quarterback.
So that's fair.
That guy's horrible.
Okay, so you have to pick his option up.
Yeah.
I know it's like $20 million, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They have to pick it up.
Love, Clifford, and Danny Eiling.
And if he stinks, guess what? You got an extra $20 million. Thank you, Aaron, for sticking around.
Sounds like a law firm.
Of Love, Clifford, and Eiling?
Yeah.
I like Eiling. He's very good.
What do they do, injury law?
Injury law made personal. That's Eiling law. Or Aiken law.
I would go at Eiling because he doesn't get much shine. He's toward the end of the hall. Danny, help me out, pal. I know you don't have many cases.
That's it.
So I Shea thinks that like Green Bay is just going to be, because of the lack of talent, they won't be very good this year.
They have names, but like Bakhtiari can't stay healthy anymore. The defense is expensive and old. You got a big question mark at quarterback. I don't know. I don't think that's going to be a very good team.
Here we go, Cap. We're going back to the 80s Packers. Here we come.
How many good players do they have coming back? They got talent if they can stay healthy. Shea's right. If Bakhtiari's healthy, he's a beast.
You're not going to do the suburban thing where you put the Bears flag in front of your home up there, are you? You're not going to do that, are you?
So,
Cap, you're not going to do that up there, are you?
They'll drive by Egga's house.
Don't do that.
So I told you there's a little bar in the neighborhood. Like, Wrigley's in a neighborhood. This is in a neighborhood. There's nothing but homes. And this one bar, it's been there since 1911. It's called Jerry's. I walked into Jerry's and had a Bears thing on. And immediately, first time I'd ever been there, guy turns out, one of those types is in here.
God.
Can I buy you a drink, sir? This is when they were good.
God.
Just wait till we start beating their ass.
Okay. So you walked in there like I would walk into a bar in the suburbs.
Right. With a White Sox thing on, up in the northern suburb.
Yeah. And they put their wallet out there. It's like, no. It's like, no, I'm not here to rob you. I'm just here to buy a drink.
Yeah. I want a cocktail. Can I buy you one? Yeah. Yep.
What about the balls on Kaplan? How about that, Shay? Like, I wouldn't do that. Not even me.
This guy doesn't care.
I don't.
But yeah, but you got no protection.
I got Mindy.
Well, he does. He did get the Wisconsin license plate, so they don't call him a fib, right?
That's it. Registered it up there. I'm not a fib. An Illinois bastard.
Okay. I wouldn't do that.
Yep.
I
went into Lowe's the other day with a Cubs hoodie on. Excuse me, sir. Where would I find a staple gun? Gotta help a Cub fan? That's what he said to me right away. Terry.
Okay. Now, I do that, I'm all right. You? You got no protection. All right. Just keep on trying.
Not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog, Johnny.
Yeah? So after you call Aiken Law, what does the dog do?
Big, big bite.
Yeah. Rawr! Yes. A big bite at that guy's wallet.
He hit me. Howard!
Yeah.
Howard, please help me.
I didn't mean it anything.
He's an ass.
I didn't mean for him to hit me. Yeah. Hit me in my shoulder. Yeah. Okay. Dog of the fight. Fight
That's
the
it,
dog.
Baby.
Albert Breer coming up with the latest around the National Football League. He joins us next right here on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox are back in action tonight on the South Side against the Twins. The Twins are in first place in the division at 17-12. Michael Kopech looks to get right, a 7.01 ERA so far this season. First pitch at 6:10 right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs shook off the weekend sweep with a 5-1 victory against Washington. Wisniewski is pitching tonight, a 6:05 start for the Cubs. Dansby Swanson last night with a 2-run homer to ice the game for the Cubs. Northwestern has given basketball coach Chris Collins a 3-year extension. No Embiid, no problem. The Sixers beat the Celtics 119-115 to take game one. Much to the chagrin of our guest Albert Breer. Also, a 2-0 lead for the Denver Nuggets over the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul got hurt in the game yesterday. Nuggets win 97-87. Jay Moore.
You're listening to Cap'n Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Catman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap'n Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
What Bert is it?
Albert Breer joins us here on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Uh-huh. Albert Breer joins us every Tuesday at 8:35 right here on Cap'n Jay Hood. Good morning, Albert.
Hey, what's up? I love that jingle.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a long time jingle, back in the 70s.
Albert's known it for all of 4 weeks.
Like it does sound old school, no question.
You've known it for all of 4 weeks, right?
Albert, before we ask you about everything else around the National Football League and the draft, let's talk about the Bears. You saw what the Bears and Ryan Poles were able to do. What stood out most about their selections?
Well, I think they got a pretty good value overall. I know Darnell Wright over Skoronski is fair to question that one, you know. And I think with Wright, he's super talented, and there's, you know, some questions about his makeup, his football character, all of that. So, you know, if you felt comfortable with that part of it, he's super talented, you know. And there's some people who believe that he could actually play left tackle too. And you know, he had some of the best tape in the draft, you know, like the game he had, and I know, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, but the game he had against Will Anderson when they beat Alabama, you know, is really kind of what propelled him into this conversation, into the first round conversation in the first place. So, I think you do well to get a bodyguard there. We know bodyguard for Justin Fields there, I was going to say. And we know, like, they wanted to fortify the defensive line to come back with Florida D tackle after that. You know, and then I just sort of like look down the line, and I know, you know, the risk, I guess, this time of year, you know, when we're past the draft is to like point out guys you've heard of, you know, on day three. But there are a few of those, you know what I mean? Like Roschon Johnson, the running back from Texas, a lot of people felt like it was a really good player, which is sort of stuck behind Bijan there. You know, I think that's good value in the fourth round, and, you know, gives you a good replacement on the roster for David Montgomery going. And then, you know, Noah Sewell was another one, you know, there in the fifth round, a guy who I think is probably going to play for you, you know. So I think all the way around, Ryan Poles did a good job. You address your needs on both lines of scrimmage early on. I think you get a good corner prospect in Stevenson, like a kind of safety corner combo prospect in Stevenson there in the second round as well. And, you know, you pick up a couple of guys in day three who I think will have an ability to at least compete for playing time for you.
So, Albert, And we always love having you on because the insight is just off the charts. Give me your thoughts. You know Poles. He does not address the edge position at all. Now, they could sign Yannick Ngakoue or Jadeveon Clowney. That's a stopgap on a one-year deal. He also said, look, I can't fix everything in one offseason, and we've got two first-round picks next year. Do you think he's looking at this season going, I'm okay if we win six games because I got two number one picks, another free agent class, and another draft class. Then it'll be time to go. Or do you feel like they can win 9-10 games?
I don't know if they win 9-10 games. I mean, I think a lot of that will come down to the development of Fields and sort of what you get out of, you know, DJ Moore and Chase Claypool at receiver. But I think they can be competitive. You know, I mean, the line should be better. The receiver group should be better. You know, the quarterback should be better. And so I think offensively you've got more firepower now. And again, like, I just think a big part of being able to stay in games when you're in the position the Bears are in, which, you know, they're rebuilding, you know, and they've acknowledged that, is being good on the lines of scrimmage. And they're going to be better on the lines of scrimmage this year than they were last year. So I certainly think there's an opportunity to be competitive on a week-to-week basis. And I think at this point, the building process, that's what you're looking for. You know, and I don't, the other thing, guys, is like, I don't think Ryan Poles is in this position where, you know, he can press needs. You know, there are certain teams that, you know, on draft weekend, they move around on the board because they've got something specific that they're going up to get, like the Steelers, for example, right? So the Steelers move up three spots because they badly needed a tackle. So they go up and they get Broderick Jones. Well, they were on the edge of the playoffs last year and they came on strong at the end of the year and they've got a lot of history of winning. So it makes sense for them to kind of package picks and go up and go and fill like a pressing need. I still don't think the Bears are quite in that position yet where you can say, okay, like, we're prioritizing this one need. You can look at general areas, and I think they did. Like, we want to get better on the lines of the scrimmage. But when you're talking about like one specific thing, I don't think the Bears are at the stage of the game where they're going to be giving up a ton of draft capital or moving around a ton to fill one spot.
Albert, what did you think of all the movement early in the first round? Anything surprise you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we expected surprises and we got some surprises. You know, I think what the Texans did was super interesting, you know? Because to me, if you look at, like, what the Texans did, there's almost as much pressure on Will Anderson, I'd say, as there is on C.J. Stroud, you know? Because they can sit there and take Stroud and then take, say, Lucas Van Ness with the 12th pick, right? Like an edge rusher with a 12th pick and still have the two first-rounders next year. And then you look at, like, the return they got for Deshaun Watson. And the return they got for Deshaun Watson was three first-rounders. Well, that's the guard from last year, Kenyon Green, and Will Anderson, and now that's it because you traded away the extra capital that you had for next year. So there's a lot of pressure on Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans to hit on Will Anderson. There's a lot of pressure on Will Anderson himself. So that one was really interesting to me. But they obviously filled two premium positions there with high-end prospects in Stroud and Anderson. You know, and then I think, like, you know, Skoronski slipping a little bit was interesting to me just because I, you know, it sort of mirrored, like, some of the things that I had heard that, you know, almost everybody saw him as a guard. And, you know, you love him as a guard, but if he's just a guard, how high do you draft him? You know, so there's the positional value thing. And I think, like, what, like, Detroit and Atlanta did was really interesting with the backs, you know, because we've all been, like, under this spell that running backs can't be taken that high anymore. And I think this is always going to be, like, a great litmus test of how the league feels about the running back position in general. Because Bijan is a, like, once in every few years prospect, like Saquon, Zeke Elliott, like that type of prospect. And then Gibbs is like Alvin Kamara, right? And so, like, you look at, like, those two guys now, they both go in the top 12. And I think it's, like, the league sort of, I would say the league kind of being a little ahead of where, I hate to put it this way, where people on Twitter are, where people on Twitter are, where people on Twitter, but here's the way I look at it, guys, right? Like, and follow me here, okay? Like, there are two parts to this. Number one, you know, I think, like, football is sort of going positionless. It's sort of like, you know, and Arthur Smith, like, you know, he sort of looked at this as, like, he's a big admirer of, like, the 2013 and 14 Spurs, right? And then the Warriors of the last 8 years. And the reason why is because they play positionless ball, right? Like, and so the Falcons are stocking their offense with all these guys. They can move around all over the place. So when you break the huddle, you don't know where anyone's going. And Bijan Robinson is a big part of that equation now, right? So they didn't view Bijan as just a running back. They viewed him as somebody, we can line him up in the slot, we can move him around. And it's like, look what like Christian McCaffrey did when Kyle Shanahan got his hands on him, right? So like, and then you go to Gibbs, and it's like Gibbs is part of a larger equation too. Where, you know, when Jamison Williams gets back off his suspension, you know, he's running downfield, stretching the field. You know who's running underneath that? A guy who can run past everybody. You know, yeah. So like, I just think like there's the league is sort of moving ahead of like the conventional wisdom on running backs, where it's like, it's not like, don't look at the guy as a running back. Look at him as a weapon. How does he fit into that? And oh, by the way, right? Like we talk about the second contract with these guys. Like, what are we talking about? Like Dick Chubb, who's a great player, makes $12 million. Derrick Henry makes $12 million. Mm-hmm. You know who else makes $12 million? Mm. Freaking Corey Davis with the Jets, right? Hunter Henry mm-hmm. with the Patriots. Who would you rather have, Nick Chubb or Corey Davis?
Great.
Who would
point.
You rather have, Derrick Henry or Hunter Henry?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So what the hell are we even talking about? You know? I don't know. I kind of, I'll admit it, I kind of have a hair across my ass over that whole argument. You know? Because I do think there's some nuance to it with guys like Robinson and Gibbs that gets forgotten.
We had this discussion. I would love your perspective. Who has more pressure on them? Would it be Lamar Jackson living up to the contract, Aaron living up to going to the Jets and maybe damaging his legacy, or Justin Fields, who he wants his fifth-year option picked up, he wants a big contract, and now he has talent around him to win with?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Justin just because his career's on the line. You know what I mean? Like, Lamar's already won an MVP. He's got his money. You know, and I think a lot of, like, whether Lamar makes it or not, it's going to be health-related, to be honest with you. I know that sounds kind of cold, but that's sort of what it is. You know, we know he's a great player. It's like, can they keep him healthy? Can they manage him in a certain way where he's going to last? You know, I think that's the biggest question. You know, and then, you know, with Aaron, I do think there's some pressure on Aaron because he can really burnish his legacy now. I mean, you know, you look at what Tom Brady did in Tampa, and, like, hey, he was already the greatest of all time, but what he did in Tampa sort of separated him in, like, the Belichick-Brady argument. I just think with Justin there's more on the line because, you know, if the Bears wind up separating themselves from him, like, you get – if the team that drafts you in the first round gets rid of you, then, you know, like, you're viewed a different way. Like, you're not going to get the same amount of runway – with another team. You know, you're not going to get the same opportunity elsewhere that you're going to get that you had when you were a first-round pick, you know? And you can see that with examples like, you know, Sam Darnold. You know, like, it's teams are taking flyers on him, but they're not investing in him, you know? So, like, for Justin Fields, it's either, you know, I'm going to get my fifth-year option picked up and I'm going to be the franchise quarterback and I could make hundreds of millions of dollars here, or I'm going to be the guy somebody's taking a flyer on a year or two from now. So, I mean, I would just say it's Justin because of how much there is on the line.
Albert, as always, we appreciate it. Look outside your Breer Cave. Is it burning, the city, with the Bruins loss and the loss of the Celtics? Everything all right there?
I think that the Brogdon pass last night, like I think it was Maxie, right? That, like, picked, I mean, that was like one of the worst things I've ever seen at the end of a game. It was terrible. So, Celtics have some things they got to clean up, no question about it. I mean, the Bruins are obviously a big choke job because this is just game one. But, hey, I grew up in an era where all the Boston teams, like, all they did was choke. So there's, like, some comfort in the last 2 days for me here.
Wow. Like old times.
Albert Breer with us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Thanks, Albert.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Uh-huh. A Minnesota state senator has a work from home faux pas. A work from home faux pas.
If you think it's a faux pas.
That's exactly right. There's nuance to that,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right.
All right, let's talk about it next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So we have a story about a Minnesota state senator that we got to tell you about. Here's Shay Norling with the latest on Zoom.
There was a legislative Zoom meeting, work from home still in effect for some departments, apparently. Toward the end of the nine-minute Minnesota Office of the Legislative Auditor meeting over Zoom on Monday, the meeting had called attendance as the camera showed different members who were present online. When a state senator, Calvin Barr, was called on, he responded yes, and his black screen briefly flashed on. You were able to see him shirtless, covered by a blanket, with the background from Schoolhouse Rock's animated I'm Just a Bill cartoon.
No, that's a lot to unpack there. Hold on, Jay Moore. I'm Just a Bill. That's how I learned about legislature, by the way, just from that cartoon. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? All that stuff. Like, so, okay, hold on a second, Cap. He's shirtless and a blanket. What's the blanket for, Cap?
I don't know.
Cap!
It's not good.
Cap, what's the blanket for? What was below the waist in that spot?
To keep the jewels warm.
I didn't know the store needed to be warm. I need to, Cap, explain it. Go ahead. Give me a couple of minutes on that. Why was he shirtless and wearing a blanket?
It was chilly in the house, and
yeah,
he was getting ready to get in the shower and went, oh, I got a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And he wrapped the blanket around himself to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
Or
he opened up a tab.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe somebody was in bed with him. You went that route.
Well, I mean, all I'm telling you is that if he's on a computer and he's shirtless,
it's called Pornhub.com.
Doon, 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 doon. I think something happened there, Cap.
Cal Barr. That's his name.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Cal.
That's not I'm Just a Bill. That's I'm Just a Pill.
Wow.
Cap, explain to me why that man, knowing that he is a Minnesota State Senator, turns his camera on. Does he not know he doesn't have a shirt on? Why wouldn't he put a shirt on? Isn't he a professional?
Wow.
What happened there?
Like, we do Zooms all the time, Teams calls, yes, all the time for our company here.
Sure.
I've had my camera on, and I was sitting in a sauna because I wasn't participating. I was listening the whole time. And then I went, I probably ought to turn that off. And so I just have my picture up while I listen.
That's right. But no one needs to see you half naked in the sauna.
I had a shirt and shorts on. I just got done working out.
So your shirt looked like your bare chest.
No, it didn't look like that at all, but you could just tell I was sitting in a sauna.
You don't go European in the sauna, Cap?
I don't know what that means.
Naked.
No! No, I do not.
When I was a young lad, we went to Germany as a family, and we went into a sauna at the Berlin Olympic Stadium. We were in the pool, and we go into the sauna, and I just saw like eight of the oldest German men you could imagine, fully unclothed.
Oh.
Sausages hanging out and everything.
Yeah, no.
That's not true.
And I guess I could. It's in my house.
Your own sauna.
Right.
Exactly right. If you want to go commando in your own sauna, but you don't do it in your sauna.
I don't.
Just in bed.
Correct. That is correct.
Uh-huh.
In the sauna, like I get done working out, jump in there for 40 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome.
You want to show the entire company, look at me, I'm in a sauna.
Well, I'm trying to multitask. Uh-huh. I got to get the sauna in every day. And we had a meeting. I wasn't speaking. I was just listening. My mic was off. Should have turned the camera off for the abuse I took.
Just know that there's, you know, women watching as well.
And I'm in a sweatshirt and shorts. What's the big problem here?
But you're sexy. That's the problem. And that's, you don't want that in the company. You don't want to show you're sexy to everyone.
Wow.
Who is
this? It's got sweat stains.
Oh, my God. Did you see David Kaplan from Chicago? He's so hot. He's sweating like an 80s video in a sauna. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't tell anyone, but I have a crush on Cap. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You don't want that.
So I turned the camera off.
He had to cut the sexy off.
It's off.
Who is under more pressure after the Bears offseason?
And we also have breaking news on Jordan Love.
Eberflus or Fields in 2 minutes on Cap and J. Oh, my God.
Tune in.
Hey!